B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
You wanted a partnership?
I'm very interested in what Rob Motti has to say about this.
Oh, well, I wonder if Rob Motti was... Oh, my goodness, Rob Motti, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, boys? Look, what's going on?
Tyrone, that's what you call a perfect segue. Thank you very much. But before we officially welcome in Rob Motti here at a Fanatic All-Star Day, how about we tell you here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. How about we tell you how you can win $10,000?
97.5 The Fanatic. Giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This hour's keyword is ACE. ACE. Enter the keyword ACE on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting ACE to 45911 by 8:15 today, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword ACE on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting ACE to 45911 by 8:15 today. That's this morning. On our Fanatic app, make sure you do that. Also, 5K a day, Fanatic 5K a day, Big Green giveaway is presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Good luck. And now, officially welcoming in our next guest here for Fanatic All-Star Day, celebrating 10 years on the FM dial. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him from the AP. You know him from right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And at 610 as well, 610 on the AM band. Please welcome in Mr. Rob Motti.
What's up, fellas? Happy anniversary.
Look at you, buddy. Look, it's always ready to go, you.
Oh,
always ready. Did you even go to bed last night?
I stayed up for the Dodgers-Nationals game, so it was probably about 4 hours.
Well, it's great to have you in, man. It really is great
to be here.
Now,
good to be here.
You, I've been talking about Carson Wentz, a guy that you know pretty well. And this is a game that I see against the Vikings as being a high-flying type of game. I feel like it's going to come into a shootout. Now, hold on just a damn minute, you. All right? Because Andrew South Jr. just came in studio as well, and he's throwing things at Bob Cooney.
It looks
Bob
good
did
with
it,
that.
Bob did it first.
No, I did not.
Okay, all right, you two. Talking about Eagles-Vikings on Sunday. Trey, do you believe this?
Wait, we were talking sports today?
Oh, I'm just going to come here to fool around for an hour.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fine.
Where's the paper planes? You had those?
Yeah, I forgot those in my other pocket. All right, go ask Rob.
Rob. Thanks, Andrew. So, Rob, you have this game coming up on Sunday. Eagles-Vikings. The Vikings look like they might have figured something out. Now, granted, it was against the Giants. Not exactly the best team in the NFL, but nonetheless, pretty damn good team when it comes to the Vikings. They have a lot of talent. They're going home now. Maybe they've hit a bit of a stride. Eagles are going into Minnesota. They're going into that stadium for the first time since the Super Bowl, whatever you want to say about that. But basically, I think this is going to come down to a 31-28 type of game. Are you confident Carson Wentz and his receiving corps we'll be able to, get involved in a shootout and win?
I already picked this team to win this game.
Oh, all right.
A close game, I think, is going to come down to who makes the bigger plays. And the Eagles, what they got to do in this one, they need an exceptional performance out of somebody, whether it's on a defensive side, whether it's on the offensive side. You can't go into Minnesota, win a football game, and play average. You can't do it the way they did against the Jets. They need Carson Wentz and somebody on the offense to step it up this week, and I think this could be an opportunity. You know, we've been looking at Nelson Aguilar lately and going, he's got, what, 3-4 targets? He's played 190 snaps. This is a game where Nelson Aguilar's got to show up. He's got to show up, make that, and when Carson Wentz hits him in stride for a 60-yard touchdown, he's got to catch it. So this is going to be one of those games where if you make bigger plays, and that's what they got to rely on, of course they got to protect the ball and all those cliches, you got to step up. Somebody's got to make a big play. I think they're up for it. I think this is going to be one of those statement type games. You went to Green Bay, you were able to win in Lambeau Field. This is another one where you got to do that.
I feel like the offense, the run game was tested, especially against the Green Bay Packers, and they rose to that occasion. They handled their business. Carson Wentz certainly did. He looked great in that game, despite only, 189 yards, whatever it was. Still looked great in that game.
The Packers game?
The Packers
game. Yeah, and there was people criticizing Carson because, he didn't throw for 200 yards.
Right, whatever.
Well, if you're going to run for 176, I'll take that every time. Their record 100%. Their record under Doug Peterson, when they have more rushing yards than passing yards, they're 4-1, having won 4 in a row.
Mm. Now, that's the offensive side of things. You're talking about other guys stepping up to play and playing well in this particular game. Rasul Douglas has been their best corner by far throughout the entire season. Sidney Jones now appears to be in the most hot water possible as a corner, whether it's injury, whether it's skill set, whatever it might be. So the other side of the football field away from Russell Douglas is going to get tested big time with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Oh, they certainly are. And it's a big test for these guys. And I heard you guys talking about whether or not Doug Peterson was calling out Sidney Jones. Mm. I don't know if it's, I wouldn't call it a call out. I would say a not so subtle sending of a message. Mm. Like, you got a man up. It's time where you play hurt. Sometimes in the NFL, Trey, you know that you play hurt. You're never 100% healthy. No. You got to play hurt. Guys have to stay. Now, he went through practice. He's going to be counted on to probably perform in this game. Rasul Douglas, like you said, has been maybe their best corner right now. You don't have Ronald Darby coming back right now. Craig James, another guy who's going to have to be at his best. I like how he played against the Jets after struggling. It wasn't a tough test. They probably faced one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the NFL against the Jets. So it's they're going to be tested. I love the challenge that these guys embrace when they have a good running offense that they're facing.
So he threw out a challenge to him, is the way you put it. With Darby coming back at some point, you would think Mills, Maddox, those guys are coming back. Douglas is playing well.
Cravion LeBlanc, too.
Cravion LeBlanc. I mean, is he kind of saying, all right, you basically have a game or two to Sidney Jones. If you don't show it, we got these other guys coming back. You might not be...
You might end up being a healthy inactive at some point.
Could be, right?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. Sidney Jones, it's time for him to step it up. And we thought coming in, hey, he looked good in the offseason. He looked good in the training camp sessions. He looked good all throughout. And now it's time to actually do it on the field. And if you got to play banged up, you play banged up in this game. And you can't blame injuries on every time you get beat.
I'm back in because there's some people that are a little behind.
What happened?
They'll be here. And we got the Tunis. Is it possible?
The Tunis.
At what point do we think maybe it's just not in these guys? Aguilar seems like a guy if you rely on him, he can't come through. Now, if you're not relying on it, if you're not banking on it, he'll deliver. But when you need him, he doesn't seem to have it. And then Sidney Jones seems like, at what point do we say, you know what? In your marrow, it's just not there. Because mm-hmm. I want to be patient, but at the same time, there's other players who, Douglas was the same draft, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Later round, but same draft.
I believe so, yes.
He's playing. So at some point, do we wonder if it's just not in those guys to be counted on? At what point do we get there, Matt?
Well, I feel like we've gotten away already from Rasul Douglas as the steal of the draft. Like, I feel like that has completely left. But as far as a second round pick now is what he should be really judged by, even that seems like a bust right now. And yeah. I know there's been injuries, but that's all part of the game. We bottom line is we haven't seen him on the field, and when we do see him on the field, he's shortly thereafter injured after getting burned. And Trey, you point that out all the time, where he might be relying on that a little too much as an excuse for how he's playing on the field.
Yeah, you can't, because see, that answers the question then. If you really have that dog in you, what a lot of people like to say, you're not going to sit up there once you get beat and find some whatever body part that's hurting. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I mean, if every time I gave up a sack, I get up with my back locked up, Or I, you know, whatever it is, you get beat off something, and you come up limping or whatever, you got to come out of the game, then now everybody's going to be starting to question your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that in, some people just don't have that in them. Some people are kind of just athletic and gifted and just, it all worked out for you. And then now once you get in that phase where you're being challenged, then now what really in you starts coming out. Now, I don't know where he is now in that. I'm hoping that, and I'll never say that you're not going to reach your full potential, because I think that you can go in and do some self-evaluation and come back strong if it's really in you to do that.
Right.
Now, what was concerning, though, with Nelly, though, when he had a comment where he said that he doesn't have to get the ball to be effective in the game.
That's a wide receiver saying that.
He's just trying to be the team guy, saying I'm unselfish, I'm going to block, I'm going to do that. And sometimes they know what they have to say to make it look good. Getting back to your point, I like to read guys' body language. And Mark, I saw you in the locker room yesterday too. When you see Jalen Mills walk around, the guy hasn't played in a year. He walks around like he owns that locker room.
Yeah.
My man's got swag.
Yeah.
When Sidney Jones walks around that locker room, like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. That concerns me, because I feel like he takes that out onto the field and he plays like he's got the burden of the world on his shoulders. I need a guy to go out there like Jalen Mills and have absolutely no conscience whatsoever. You get beat, you get back in somebody's face.
Now, Tunis, Well, weigh in.
The Tunis.
What do you think about this, Tunis?
Oh, what, the Eagles? We're talking about the Eagles right
yes,
now?
Yes, what are we?
Did you have your coffee yet? Come on, man.
I believe the first person to have some of the champagne was Andrew Salchunas.
Some. I drank a whole bottle of
it. Faced it.
That a fella.
No, Sidney Jones is definitely scaring me. I mean, Doug talked about it yesterday. Doug was saying, yeah, there's going to be some injuries that you have to play through. He talked about going through the glass, right? And you have to fight through it. And we're going to see where Sidney's at with that. I think Sidney Jones could have played last week, but it was against the Jets. So it was one of those games where you're not going to play him last week, even if he was healthy or not, because
see,
he just made
agree with that.
You think he should have played last week?
Well, if you're going to gain confidence, who better to gain confidence against than that?
More so than the Vikings
the
wide receivers.
Summer league argument.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's the problem also with Sidney Jones is that this could be the first time he hasn't been the best on his team. People forget yes. that about professional athletes. This could be the first time he's getting burnt consistently. At Washington, he wasn't. And in high school, obviously, he was probably the best player they've ever seen there, intercepting everything. You beat dealt, and Trey, you talked about it. You get dealt with a little bit of defeat. Oh, I got beat on an out. I got beat on a fly pattern. I'm losing on double moves here. Man, the doubt starts to creep in. Some guys can't handle it well. Maybe he's one of those guys, and it's the first time he's had to handle it.
And again, you go back to the game last year. It was double move after double move after double move. Coming up, here's what we're going to get into a little bit. We're going to, Ty, you already solved the problem with Gabe Kapler.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got Rob Motti. We got Andrew Salchunas.
By the way, young Salchunas, I think, has an admirer on Twitch.
Word?
What?
Salchunas looks like a young Christian Slater.
Which is not true at all.
Talentless hack? Like,
some good movies.
Which one?
The one with the prostitute that they bury.
That was the worst possible movie
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, right?
That wasn't bad.
You're talking about, I know you're John Favreau, Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, God, what's the name of it? And he's in Mr. Robot.
He's in True Romance.
True Romance.
That's the good movie.
That's a good flick.
That's a good movie.
That's one of my favorites.
Ask Mike Giacinelli about that.
You haven't seen that.
It's his favorite.
True Romance is good.
It's one of my favorite flicks.
Who the hell has Christian Slater on the brain?
Apparently, yeah, somebody thinks Andrew is him.
The one trying to get the Tunis draws.
Damn right.
Damn. All right, coming up, we'll get Andrew's take on Gabe Kapler as well as Rob Motti. And then, you know what? I'm going to ask you guys, probably the most amazing thing I can ask you guys. Where were you when Ben Simmons hit a three? That's what we're going to get into in a minute here. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:12.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. How about an update on our Twitter poll there, Sam Wilson?
This morning's Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you confident Sidney Jones will ever reach his full potential? We have just over 2,000 votes so far. Went up a little bit. 89% now say no.
89% go with negatory when it comes to Sidney Jones reaching his full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome in here as part of Fanatic All-Star Day, my dear friend from the afternoon program, Mike Missinelli Show. You see her on NBC Sports Philadelphia. You can see her on Twitch right now. Natalie Agonoff joins us.
Oh, that's right. There's like another added layer to this.
She's
going to
run out and throw some makeup now.
Yeah. I know, probably.
There's layers
probably.
To
but
there
people
is.
Will see your fine attire today. That's fine.
Yes, my lovely Target Fall 19.
Art smock.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful.
Don't hate just because you don't know fashion, Mark.
Oh, please. You see this gray shirt with buttons on it? Come on now. don't you tell me I don't know fashion.
This is so fun.
It is fun, isn't it?
My goodness.
So Natalie and I will now quote Wayne's World in its entirety. yes. for the next hour and 15 minutes.
And her name was Cassandra.
Now, you actually texted to apologize for being a little tardy here.
I was.
You picked up the OJ to make some mimosas.
Yeah, Ty texted me and he said, can you stop and get the OJ? So I, you know, stopped into Sev and grabbed like two bottles. Yes. Now here we are.
Which it we is appreciate. Sev. Thank you.
Sev.
It is Sev.
Wow.
Anybody who lives in the city of Philadelphia knows it's Sev.
Sev. Yeah.
I grew up in a city. I've never called it Sev.
No, Sev was a, believe it or not, yeah? And I'm not going to poo-poo on the Northeast because I love Northeast Philadelphia. For whatever weird reason, all my best friends from college were all Northeast Philly kids that I met at Temple.
We're good people.
I always called it Sev in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I will say the Northeast contingent is the only people that I hear refer to it as Sev.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about here?
7-Eleven.
Oh, 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Never called it Sev.
Yeah, I never called it Sev.
What'd you go with?
I called it a Lev.
Who has time to say 7-Eleven? I don't. I'm busy.
You know what I don't have time for? This is going to be the first bottle of champagne that I open for the show here. In regards
you gonna
to
pop
tenure,
the bottle?
I'm gonna open up the champagne. Pop. You know what I'm saying? Here we go.
Keep it away from the.
Here we go. Don't break a light.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Watch the smog.
Oh, good pop there.
Oh, you're welcome.
That had great launch angle.
And that's a perfect segue right there. So that's all we can see. You can see that pop on Twitch.
You're going to bring the Phillies up, are you?
Did that hit you, Matt?
It did.
It did, really? Are you okay? Filling. Oh, you have your art smock on. You're fine. So we were going to get into the whole Phillies debacle here. Now, Rob and Andrew Salchunas, who hosts the Fanatic Baseball Show, as a matter of fact, are two excellent people to talk to about this. How do you see it ending? Rob, I'll start with you. Now, it's been about 2.5 weeks that we've been on Gabe Watch.
Before we talk about ending, can I tell you what I equate it to?
Okay.
Because you're a married man.
This is true.
We're several married men in here, except, well, Andrew, you're
soon
you're,
to be.
Soon to be, right?
You're betrothed.
I feel like what the Phillies are doing to Gabe Kapler is similar to telling your wife, all right, listen, go sleep in the other bedroom, okay? Keep taking care of the kids, keep making dinner, keep doing everything that you're doing right now, because he's showing up to work, right? He's showing up to work every day. But I'm going to go out and look for someone better. I'm going to go out and look and try and, man, I'm not so sure we're going to continue in this relationship. I may come home and give you divorce papers, but right now, continue doing what you're doing. And if I can't upgrade the situation, okay, you're going to come back. So what they're doing to Gabe is completely unfair. You can't have this guy show up to work for, what is it now, 12 days?
Nah.
Showing up to work and have no guarantee or assurance that he's going to be back. And it's as far as where it ends, I can't imagine a scenario. I know the Phillies are oftentimes tone deaf, and I feel it's not Gabe Kapler's fault, and I don't have an issue with Gabe Kapler. Nobody could have won with the team that was assembled, but John Middleton pays attention to the fans, or so we think. Mm. Every Twitter fan poll, any kind of show I've done, anything that you guys have done, everywhere, people don't want Gabe Kapler back. And I feel like he's going to be, it's not reactionary because he didn't do it the day after the season.
Mm.
So to avoid it looking like it was a reactionary fan impulse decision, they're drawing out this long process. I feel at some point he's going to have to move on. And maybe now that Dave Roberts might become available, they can look into more and more candidates. So I don't see how they can potentially justify this. I'd love to see him back. I'm probably in the 2% minority, but I don't think he will be.
Forget about the 2% minority. I think every baseball fan knows, every Phillies fan knows, not all of this is Gabe's fault.
No.
They just want to see some kind of major change, major overhaul, and that would obviously probably be the easiest thing would be to move on from the manager.
It is the easiest thing because they're not going to replace the GM. They're right. Not going to replace the president, who they gave 3-year contracts to. A little quietly, too. Mm. So that is the easiest thing that they could do. That's the quickest way they can appease the fan base. But what they ought to do is go out there and give Gabe Kapler a team to work with. Now, you did remove the hitting coach. You did remove the pitching coach. Maybe if there's any scenario in which he does come back and they attempt to justify it by saying, okay, we're going to give him a better roster and the coaching staff is going to be changed, I still think John Middleton gives the fans what they want. And ultimately, you should not be building a business or your team on what the fans want. You ought to do what you think is best for the team.
Are they looking at other people right now, you think?
Oh, I absolutely think that they are trying to figure out what they're going to do next. And I
okay, all right,
I actually think he knows.
I hear you
on
that.
I think he knows.
So, okay, I believe you that they're figuring out what they're going to do. But as part of that figuring out, and I'm only asking because you have insider than I do, are they actively talking to prospective managers to come in here and take his place? Or I think are they doing what they said and talking to players about Gabe?
They put out the feelers. And if the guys that they're interested in are still under contract, if the guys are still on other teams as bench coaches or whatever,
right.
You can't talk to those guys. Right. So you got to wait for them to be available. So now we have two more teams that have been eliminated. We'll see if they're interested in any of these guys. I do think that to cover all angles, yeah, we're talking to some players. We're going to see what Bryce Harper thinks, what Rhys Hoskins thinks, what Aaron. All these guys are going to come back and tell you they. And here's a big time misconception, guys. And I hear this a lot of time. People say, and a lot of times it's guys who don't cover the team, who aren't in the locker room, who aren't in the clubhouse, and they say the players don't respect Gabe Kapler. That's the furthest thing from the truth. The players love Gabe Kapler. They do respect Gabe Kapler. Yeah, of course you're not going to have 25, 35, 40 guys who all are on board, and there's a couple, I think we probably know who they are, veteran pitchers who may not necessarily be on board, but the overall mood in that clubhouse, vibe in that clubhouse, they love playing for Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask Rob that, actually, because we're doing this John Middleton tour around the world now, going to talk to other players. I think they do like him. Like, Bryce Harper said it right after the season ended, is that he thinks he's a great manager, he's a great players manager, he's all that kind of stuff. So John Middleton's going to go do this tour and talk to all these players. They're, for the most part, going to say, we want him back.
They're not going to throw him under the bus.
I don't think so.
They're not. And I talked to guys completely, like, off the record. They knew. I said, listen, I'm not going to write this. I'm not going to go on the air and talk about it. Tell me, how do you feel? And to a man, every guy I talked to, I didn't talk to all 25, and I'd say probably 11 or 12 within the last 3 days of the season. They all said, we have no problem with him. We like playing for him. We enjoy. And you know what they like? They love the fact that he's positive, which I know he gets a lot of criticism for. But my man has never said a bad thing about any player in public, and that is hard to do.
And that's why going to the players is a dumb idea.
They shouldn't
be the deciding factor, because they clearly do like the guy.
Do they think
he's a good manager? Like a good manager. Brad Miller's batting fourth the last week of the season.
Look at the roster he has.
I get it.
And Brad Miller hit two bombs.
I know Brad Miller hit two bombs.
But he's more multi-home run games than Rhys Hoskins this year.
Don't stop bringing that up.
I like that stat. Wow.
Yeah, Jason Stark threw that out at us, and we all just vomited.
We puked everywhere.
We had to go home.
That's the disconnect, is that it's, do you keep the players happy or do you keep the fans happy? And that's why there's this delay, because they can't decide. That's exactly what the issue is.
I think you side with the fans, though, Natalie. You're right, because the fans are paying the tickets. The fans are going to be filling the seats.
But if he's beloved within the organization, that's why they're so resistant. Because if people inside the organization didn't like him, it wouldn't be that difficult.
You're right.
It wouldn't be that difficult, but everybody seems to like him.
And we've had
they're not just going to dismiss him doing their due diligence.
That's what's making it such a difficult. If he was a jerk, he has been ultimate professional.
And not only that, he's still showing up there every single day. It's not like he's checked out yet.
What does a manager do after the season ends?
So who's the man for the job then?
Right now, Lana.
He's made the case outside of everything except from, the way that the fans' perspective is that he should be the man for the job.
The man for the job is Gerrit Cole.
The way the front office excuses all of this is just saying, yeah, he's back and we're going to spend big in the offseason.
I mean,
because what happened to this roster during the season was awful. The roster essentially got depleted. The guys you were depending on in the bullpen were all hurt. Now the question is whether or not Matt Klentak should have trusted guys of that age to contribute as much as he wanted them to. But then the other part of it is this the right man for the job as far as a manager goes, to have this club turn around as a whole? Because you also had guys like Rhys Hoskins step back tremendously from what he did last year. And the thing that I was going to get on there, Natalie, I didn't mean to step on you, but we've had many calls about what a great friend Gabe Kapler seems to be to a lot of the players in the clubhouse. And is that necessarily a good thing?
No, I think what I'm thinking is, if the Phillies are going to drag this out because they don't know, I'd rather if they're going to keep him because they like him so much inside that they keep him and they own it. Yeah. And they say, we're so confident. But for some reason, they're afraid to do that because of the backlash. But that doesn't make me feel good either. Because if you believe in this guy so much that you're willing to invest in him and sacrifice your fans' opinion, then you better know what you're doing. And clearly, they haven't displayed that they know what they're doing for the last 2 years.
2 weeks of asking.
That's an excellent point.
2 weeks of asking themselves if he's the right man for the job.
But should the fans really have that influence? Like, I understand
they had that influence on Bryce.
I understand you know, we're customers and that's their product, but should we really be dictating their baseball decisions?
No, that's
a disaster.
And that's where the organization needs to step up and own what they're going to do either way.
Put them on the table, as the great Trey Thomas said.
Yeah.
Because if you solely base it on reasons for him going or reasons for him staying, and I'm not a Gabe guy and I haven't been, but there's more reasons for him to stay than go. I mean, just look at this year alone with the bullpen that you thought was going to be a bridge to your closer, totally depleted by injury. Your last three starters sucked. And for management to say, upper management to say, we can trust on
you
those guys.
Four. You could throw Arrieta in that mix, too.
He's been a five-starter.
Jake's been a five-starter, not a number two.
You lost two-thirds of your starting outfield. Okay, like this guy, and he kept him in contention until September. Last year, he had a crap team that he kept in contention until early August.
They overachieved.
You can make the arguments easily for him to stay, but public opinion, like you're saying, public opinion, they don't like him.
One of the things I don't like about Gabe Kapler, and I'm on the record, I'm not a Gabe Kapler guy, but I've also been on the record to say Matt Klentak put him in a bad spot this year. I think all of us have said that.
He doesn't even make the lineup card.
I don't believe that.
Well, I believe the front office has major input.
They have input in it. Yeah, they have input, but they Gabe's making.
Well, there was that one story from Matt Gelb of The Athletic a few weeks ago. He said whether it's Gabe Kapler or not, that's not going to change. Where the front office is going to make a huge impact,
which makes
they're going to influence it.
Yeah, which makes you think they're not bringing in a big name.
Yeah, exactly. But one of
because Joe Maddon isn't sitting here saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, Klentak. Who do you think should get some more
time?" He's not going to listen to Matt Klentak. But going back to the thing I was starting to say was, Gabe Kapler to me still looks like he's learning on the job a lot, and you could disagree if you want, but I still think he's learning on the job because he didn't have managerial experience. It was 1 year in a minor league system. It looks like he's still learning on the job. Now, last year, I was okay with him learning on the job because of that roster that we were talking about. This year, even though it wasn't a complete roster, it was a much better roster than what you had last year, and he was still making some rookie managerial mistakes, and I go, all right, do I really want someone who's going to still be learning on the job next year? Because do I really think that next year he's going to have everything work out? Do I think that next year he's going to learn everything in the book and know exactly what to do, every single right decision? No, I don't believe it.
Yeah, but if you look at every game, every manager, you could say every team, you could second guess, and the Yankees fans are second guessing Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
In Chicago, they did it to Joe Maddon. He eventually lost his job.
Right.
They do it to A.J. Hinch in Houston. You could second guess and look at everything all the way through 162 games of the season. How many games does a manager really impact?
It's what, 10?
Is it really 10? And that's why if you have a guy who is aligned with the vision of the organization as he is, mm-hmm. and a guy who can get players to... the key thing is to get players to play better than the back of their baseball cards. The problem is the past couple years... and they could pin this on the hitting coach, is a lot of these guys have taken steps backward rather than steps forward, in a case of Rhys Hoskins being a prime example. Now, Bryce Harper comes here, and he gives you exactly what you thought he could do. So, is he maximizing the player's talent? That's where you can argue against him coming back.
Certainly, when you have a front office start to make changes already, that's where you start to think that even a guy like Gabe Kapler might be back. Because if you're the organization, you simply say, what are you talking? We've had a lot of change in the offseason. Look, we fired in season, we fired the hitting coach and put Charlie Manuel in there. And then as soon as the season was over, we fired a guy like CY. We fired Chris Young. So we've already had a lot of change. Now we're going to go out. Well, guess what? We're going to spend money again. We're going to add to this roster. And Gabe's just the guy we want leading that charge. The unfortunate part about this is the thing that you started out with, Rob, which is how long this is taking and how much you're basically at least looking at the menu as who's going to be available as a manager for this team. And the name that keeps on coming up is Buck Showalter, a name that probably makes the most sense. It's not the guy I'm rooting for, but if you're asking for a prediction, which is what we're trying to do, you're talking about the idea of Buck Showalter going back to work with Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak. That's what you're looking at, right?
I'd rather have Gabe.
If it's only 51% looking at Buck Showalter to come in, then that's not an overwhelming majority.
I'd rather have Raul Ibanez.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Oh, please.
I don't know
please
about
stop.
That.
And that'll be another first-time manager, right?
Yeah. What about Joe McEwing?
I threw this name out the other day. This is the one name that would get everybody happy in Philadelphia, and I don't think that it can happen, but at some point he might Chase Utley. Chase
yeah,
Utley.
Yeah, I don't, think, least, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it happens anytime soon.
No, it doesn't happen.
Does he want to be a manager?
No, he wants to hang out with his kids, and yeah. I get it right
for
now.
Until they get to like high school.
Talk down, yeah, talk, down the line.
Right, Trey?
But huh? I mean,
hanging out with the kids gets old quick.
I feel like you have to have some sort of.
I love my kids. What
I feel like you
about?
Have to have some sort of like personality, right?
He brought them cake.
Yes.
That's right.
Trey brought cake home.
Don't you have to have like some sort of like personality to be like the manager? Like some sort of personality where you're a communicator?
Mm-hmm.
Chase says like two words.
He's gotten better, but you're right. Yeah. He's gotten a little better towards the end of his career.
Well, yeah, I mean, because now he's doing it professionally. But yeah. I don't see him being like the hey buddy, like let's you know.
He was a lead by example
there today, he's right?
Awful. Lead by example.
Yeah, but Chase also had to be reminded when he was here in Philadelphia that for his Chase Utley Day, he had to be reminded that he was.
That's what I mean. There's you know, there's certain qualities all I think right. that you'd want to have in a manager.
I promise I'd ask this question, and Rob, we'll start with you. Where were you when it happened? Rob,
so,
where were
I actually I did a show that night at a restaurant, and we were trying to watch it on there. Jordan Howard came out, and I was just overwhelmed. Jordan Howard comes out to the show, sits there and signs autographs for 45 minutes. I'm what a dude! Like this guy, I'm like, you could go, man. You don't have to be here.
No, he's a good guy.
I'm caught up in that. Ben hits the three. Now my phone's blowing up. Luckily, I was off the air at that point, but my phone's blowing. I'm like, wow, I will not. And I knew instantly when that happened. I knew I would have to, at some point, recount that moment. Be like, this is where I was when Ben Simmons made that threat.
Andrew, where were
you? Row 1, seat 5, section 111.
Oh, that's right. You were drunk with your friends.
Yes. I was drunk with my friends when that happened. We went nuts. We were jumping up and down. The greatest moment was everybody knew it was about to happen. There's 9 seconds left, and Joe's waving them all and saying, come on, shoot the ball. And all of a sudden, the 2 seconds left, he pulls up. The crowd just goes silent. And then it goes through, and the place just goes nuts. I'm jumping up and down. There's beer flying everywhere. I look over Natalie and Tyrone. They're going nuts as well.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead, Natalie.
So I was down the row from Andrew, and I swear, it was almost like one of those moments. I could see the movie, and I could hear that. You know, because he stops, and everybody stands up, and they're on their feet, and they're like, shoot. And then you could see the look on his face. It was almost just this look of like, oh my God, now's the moment, you know? And then Joel's like waving his hands.
That's not what he was thinking.
I swear. You can see it on his face. If you were watching, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And that was his thought, like, oh my God.
Well, one shining moment was playing in the background.
Yes, one shining moment was playing, and I think that it was just that he's like, it's do or die right now. It's that time.
All
right, that's what it seemed like.
It's the moment.
Natalie, you're one of the biggest Flyers fans I know. That's you and my buddy Joe. Biggest Flyers
fans. I used
fans
to be.
No.
I used to be.
You're back. I already know. All right. Carter Hart last night wowed a lot of people. We'll let you hear the moment that was an incredible save from Carter Hart, as heard right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, as we celebrate All-Star Day 10 years on the FM band. We'll throw you that highlight coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, you know, we're about to get into some Flyers conversation with a great win last night. 4-0 win over the New Jersey Devils. Wayne Simmons.
Pretty damn cool.
Wayne Simmons in the house there at the Wells Fargo
Center. Simmer.
Come on, Mark. One of my all-time favorites, man.
Yeah.
Wayne Train was back at the station last night. But you know what? I got gritified last night.
Oh, how was it?
I had a great time.
Did it get in you, like, your nose and your eyes?
Okay, so I got stabbed in the eye. But
okay.
That never happened, so don't worry. Everyone, it's fine.
Right.
But no, they give you eyelashes.
Wait, explain. Stabbed in the eye?
Fake eyelashes.
Okay.
And apparently, I didn't, like, keep my eye closed long enough, and I opened my eye, and I got the old eyelash in the eye. The fake eyelash.
Nice.
Natalie, right?
Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
I had an eyebrow waxing incident one time. So she dropped the wax
Pardon?
On my eye.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I screamed.
Yeah,
it was pretty.
Go ahead, Trey. Yeah, you take this one.
Yeah.
So you get your eyebrows waxed?
Yeah, man. You got to groom nicely.
Wow.
Yeah, no, now I just pluck.
You pluck.
Yeah. Huh. After that incident, I was scared.
Trey, how well do you know Rob?
Not well at
Let
all.
Let me just. I'll help you right here.
Not well at all.
I know Rob Mania a little while now. Rob, who has a bigger closet at the house? You or your wife?
Well, I got an extensive closet.
Rob, although I had to build her a whole room closet. Oh, you did?
She got a whole guest room turned into a closet because I took the biggest one.
Good for her.
Trey, any further questions?
With the waxing, though. So,
like, you don't want to have the one eyebrow
stop
thing.
At the eyebrow.
So is it the middle thing?
Yeah, yeah. The middle and then a little all the way up.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. So you get them arched a little bit or just?
No, I just get them like clean. Nice, okay. Nice and cleaned up. Yeah. You got to clean up everywhere. You know what I mean?
I know plenty of men who wax.
You know, they wax guys. Really?
Wax all
They wax guys on. Like in the board shorts area.
Hey!
Joe, isn't it called a mankini wax?
Mankini.
You know, I don't know what it's called.
What the hell is going on?
It's a mankini.
So I got grittified last night.
So how do you know about this man waxing that's going
I brought
on,
my
man.
Daughters in to get some Manny's Petties a week or two ago. And I was just curious. And I, you know, the guy was all serious. And I was like, do you wax men? And he's like, we wax one, I'm like, okay.
Do they wax men too?
Because I might need a wax. And the ladies in there are looking at me like, my daughters are like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, And then I said, dude, I'm just kidding, man. It's cool. And then we went and got our petties and whatever. And then at the end.
Our petties. I stopped. I drew the line there. I don't do the petties.
I do the petties. They massage your feet.
Oh, pedicures are awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. I do a pedicure. I just don't do polish on the nails.
No. You leave that part out.
I don't go that
But the rest of it's awesome.
I do clear polish on the nails.
Oh, okay.
I do the clear.
We're learning a lot today.
Learned a lot about the group, man.
Wow.
So, happy birthday, guys.
So when Joe walked out, he was like, no, really, I'm serious. You guys wax around here?
I walked out, and the guy's like, you want wax now? You want wax now? I'm like, dude, I was kidding. I was totally kidding.
Joe went back. He went back without the kids.
Drop the kids off and do a Yui.
Definitely gonna hold your sack up right here. And we're gonna put a little hot wax.
So, in my now wife, when we first started dating, she used to work at a salon at the time, right? And I used to prank call her all the time about bleached. Yep.
Yeah.
And I would try to carry it on as long as I could before that game was
wrong. She's like, Jamie, is this you again? Damn it.
All right.
So you got gratified.
There's Robert Kraft jokes I want to make, and I'm just not.
We're pulling out now, Mark.
What?
All right. Hey.
So
here's
the so I got gratified. It's a great experience. But nonetheless, the Flyers won a game last night, Natalie.
I heard.
It was a great experience.
Stanley Cup. I'm cup crazy.
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I'm cup crazy. Let's go.
All right. So they win.
You got to get real TV to watch a game.
We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Why they be on you now? You know.
I'm just trying to live.
Mark,
sorry.
That's all I'm saying. You just trying to live.
Yeah.
So I'm cultured, Trey. I read. I write. I, you know.
If it's not your shoes, they're messing with your
I'm
TV.
I'm cultured. I sleep.
I measured it. It's 32 inches, the TV. Look, I have proof.
Good thing
it's nice that you brought it with you. You're holding it right now.
You feel like it's big enough, though, huh?
It's a fine size. Get a new
slant.
There
you go.
Oh, wow.
She's fought this fight before.
Right, Nat? Tell him. Sizes and everything.
His collars are a fine size. Good. Look, 32.
Oh, you did measure it.
Yeah.
All right. That's a very small TV.
It's not.
I looked at my 45-inch TV and I went, I need a bigger TV.
My living room is actually tiny, so it's really not.
So your TV should look bigger.
No, it's proportioned properly is what she said.
Yes.
It fits perfectly.
It does.
Matt,
it's
I support
fine.
You. I don't
because
watch
it's
TV
a nice
either.
Small
Thank
room.
You.
So, you know, you don't need anything that's too big.
I took so much heat on the internet for this, and all because I accidentally told Mikey Miss, and then Ty was like, her TV is not worthy. And then they were both just so upset. And I'm like, I've never cared about anybody's television in the history of my life.
I thought you were getting Sal Pal's old TV.
I am now.
He moved out his daughter's TV, and now he has an extra TV that he's giving
How
to you.
How big is Sal's Pal's?
Apparently like 54 inches.
Oh, well, you will
make it up for something.
Might be you're going to need to mount that in a wall.
It's going to be like a movie theater in my living room.
For the room.
Yeah, it might be.
See, the TV, it was the perfect size for the room.
You're going to have to get smaller chairs now.
Thank you, Trey.
It fit in the space perfectly.
I like it. Trey's always coming to my defense with my TV and my dad's shoes.
Yeah, the shoes.
Well, you got some Air Monarchs on?
No, I got the M2K Technos. They're very trendy right now. I wanted them in pink, but they didn't have them, so I got them in white.
She can play a full game of basketball without them squeaking.
Actually, they do squeak, which is the best part about
them. They do squeak?
Yeah, so now I wear them as a joke.
Trey, basketball?
It's hysterical. Yeah,
shuffleboard. Come on.
Shuffleboard. Yeah,
rocking the dad shoes. Come on down.
Yeah. So one dude, though, tweeted and was like, he had the best tweet. He was like, yeah, hey, get a little rest. We got a big day tomorrow, son.
Oh, kiddos, come on.
Come on, kiddos, we got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah. Fire up the grill.
See, I didn't want to say anything
anyway,
about
Flyers.
The Flyers won.
Yeah.
Flyers won.
Yeah, but real quick, I wanted to make sure people...
Good luck, Mark.
It's a debacle is what it is.
So what else do you get waxed, man?
I only wax the eyebrows, but I trim everything else, yeah.
Because you got to make sure that you're presenting beautifully. I mean,
in the game of inches,
you got to make sure that you're presenting beautifully.
Gabe Kapler waxes,
for sure.
100%.
You know who presented beautifully last night? Carter Hart. Here's Tim Saunders with the call right here on 97.5 The Fanatic of a great save in the second period.
Here's Hall with some skating room through center. Stepped it over the line, cross-ice pass, controlled by Jack Hughes. Hughes back to Gusev in the left circle. Backs to the base of the circle, gives it up to Hughes, gets a good look over to Hall. Oh, what a save, Hart! Dove over with the glove and somehow got that. Absolutely spectacular by Carter Hart.
Second save of the game for him, going post to post, ladies and gentlemen, in a 4-0 win over the New Jersey Devils. And people at the Wells Fargo Center, the new revitalized Wells Fargo Center, went bonkers. Natalie, biggest Flyers fan in the room.
Yes.
How'd it make you feel?
I was so excited. No, I am actually really excited for this season for the first time in, I'd say, about 7 to 8 years.
Since you were at Dougherty, probably.
Since I was at Cardinal Dougherty.
Rest in peace.
In Alney.
I'm going to ask you, so you know Mark for a while.
Yeah.
Did you know his cousin was a freak? Oh.
I just learned that this week. He had never mentioned in our like 10 plus years of friendship. That was one little factoid that was left out.
Well, in fairness, so Mark, it was news to Mark as well.
I'm starting to wonder. I think you knew.
I didn't know.
Oh, I think you did.
There's some
cracks in the armor
She's
here.
She's a sweet, innocent little cousin, baby cousin of mine.
See, every time you say that, your eye twitches a little bit. You knew something.
Hell yeah, Catholic school.
No wonder.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this guy. Rob, see, with the waxing of the eyebrows, throwing shade in my direction.
I went there for 13 years. As 12 years, whatever.
I did 13 years. I got off good behavior.
Kindergarten, right?
Yeah. Twice. But here's the thing. So, Ty has already helped me out with this.
Yeah.
Because you retold the story after the promo ran.
I did. I texted you and I said, I'm sorry, I probably butchered it.
Nah, it's a men's. So here's what happened.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.